Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
The people who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So once again, you have yours truly, Big Jim Murray, here in the A-hole chair. Today, alongside Chris Gasper, here in the Maz chair. Always good to see you, Gasper.
Good to see you, too. Is Zoe deaf? Because every time I literally just blew out my headphones because this thing was cranked to the top. And I think I just blew out one of the speakers.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You always have to make sure you put the volume down on the headphone jack to low because Zoe listens to it on a level that's almost inhuman. And if it smells like feet over there, it's because Zoe often does the show without shoes on, too.
Jeez.
Yeah, welcome to what it's typically like here.
I mean, I'm not Maz or Felger. This is clean. Like, there's no problem here. I know they make fun of Zoe for that. I have no issue with the space, but I literally just blew out my headphones.
All right. Well, you're working hard.
It's a good start.
All right. Good start. We have Marshall Hook in my normal spot, and it being the official start to the NFL league year at 4 o'clock, which means free agency officially starts a couple of hours from now. We welcome in special guest Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal, who was also nice enough to bring in these new BSJ squeeze balls.
Yeah.
Very nice of you, Greg. Thank you
no
very
problem.
Much. I use this today to take out some of the stress of the Patriots basically doing nothing except for signing
so
special
far.
Teamers. I want to work backwards through all the moves, at least as okay. it pertains to the Patriots. We'll start with a big one today. Nate Solder gone to the New York Giants. Why did the Patriots let him walk?
Well, I think it's, look, at the end of the day, and I wrote about this on the site, I was actually crafting a column for a couple days, and I just, you know, I don't know. I couldn't really pull the trigger on it. I basically wanted to write, the Patriots should not be afraid to walk away from Nate Solder. I mean, look, he's been a good left tackle. He's been an average pass blocker. He's an excellent run blocker at left tackle when he's healthy. But look, he's coming off a season where he gave up, I think it was 74 total quarterback pressures. That's more than double anybody else on the line. The Super Bowl, he was okay. He wasn't great. The Super Bowl before, he was terrible. And I'm sorry, I'm not paying any more than like $10 million for that. I mean, that's about as far as I would have gone. I mean, are there any ready-made options? No. I mean, are they going to have to finagle something? Yes. You know, maybe somebody will come loose that they could entertain. Maybe, you know, there's a name that I threw out in my column that I would target, Jason Peters from the Eagles.
I thought the Eagles said they weren't going to move him.
They've said that before. They said that about Bradford. They say that.
It's Howie, true.
They said that about Foles. They will trade Foles.
Sure.
Howie says that.
Yeah, Howie Roseman's an interesting guy.
Yes. Howie says those things. And yes, I called around and they're saying we're not dealing him. I do not think that that's going to happen at the end of the day. Now that the Browns, Joe Thomas just retired, they have a commodity. They just won a Super Bowl with a second-year, fifth-round pick, Vitae, playing left tackle. Why wouldn't... And Jason Peters coming off major surgery, and he's like 36 years old. Why wouldn't you entertain picking up, say, a second-round pick for him?
Yeah, it's interesting. He was awesome last year, though, before he got
yes,
hurt.
He was. You know, but... They won a Super Bowl without him. You can get by, pick up a second-round
pick.
Yeah,
but using that logic, and I don't want to get ridiculous with you, Bedard, I hear what you're saying, but you could be like, well, won a Super Bowl without Carson Wentz. Hey, who needs Carson Wentz? Like, in a short sample size, yeah, it worked, but Peters is, like, the best left tackle in the game.
You can't really say that with Wentz because, look, he's on a rookie deal. There's value. There's all that stuff involved where it's not apples to apples. It's apples to oranges.
No, I admit that, but I'm just saying, if you're going to say, well, you won a Super Bowl without this elite guy, like...
Yeah, I mean, you could say that, but, I mean, when you're talking about an aging veteran in Jason Peters at 36 years old, I think he is, or he's going to be, I think you can entertain that. And if you're the Patriots, I think he's making in base about $7 million the next 2 years. Would you let Nate Solder go and trade a second-round pick for 2 years of Jason Peters to buy you time? And he's a huge upgrade as far as a pass-blocking left tackle? I would do that in a second.
So I think it was very, your column on him is pretty damning. So it sounds to me also like you're not that surprised because in your column on Boston Sports Journal, you said the writing was on the wall and that they drafted a couple of tackles last year.
Yes.
Third round, it's Garcia, who ends up having the blood clots, doesn't play.
Yep.
And though it was Connor McDermott.
Connor McDermott was the other guy.
Sixth round. I mean, What can they expect out of Garcia? Is he actually going to play? And how do you think Dante Scarnecchia works around this?
We don't know. I mean, look, you know, the last we heard, you know, he's down a lot in weight. He's got a long ways to go. This is a guy who, when he was on the field briefly last year, you looked at him, you're like, okay, he's got the feet. He's got the athletic ability. I'm intrigued. The kid needs to get in the weight room for a whole lot. Basically, he needed a redshirt year. And the medical thing set him back. Is he still at that same point? I don't know. But the Patriots certainly know. They have a lot more information than we do. You know, Cannon is an option. Signing back Waddle. I mean, look, you know, Solder gave up 74 total quarterback pressures last year. I think they can manage that. I mean, even if you stick Adrian Waddle in there and say you don't give him as much help, I think he's somewhere 70 to 80 in total quarterback pressure. So, you know, you're talking about quantifying what you can do. And I think the Patriots looked at it. I mean, when I looked at it, I'm just like, you know, if Nate wants to come back here, that's fine. But, you know, we can deal without him. I mean, I know people are like, oh, Tom Brady and his comfort and all this stuff. I think the Patriots, that's sentimental garbage to me. I mean, he was a good player, but he did not have the greatest year last year. Yes, he improved over the course of the year. I just think you can find you know, a solution to left tackle that is equitable to Solder at a lot cheaper. And I think that's the way the Patriots are looking at it.
I mean, for continuity's sake, I wanted him back, but no one's more qualified to talk about the offensive line than you. I know how lustfully you tend to talk about it during the season and how much you pay attention to it and chart everything. So I feel a little bit better hearing this, reading your column. But all these other moves, it feels like the cupboard's getting bare here. Amendola, gone. Butler, gone. Not a big surprise there. Deion Lewis, gone. Not a big surprise there. What are your overall thoughts on some of these other moves over the last day or so?
Well, I mean, look, we knew the Butler thing was on the wall. I know Field Yates has a report out about how the money's equitable. You know, look, we all know where Field's getting his information from. He used to work for the team. You know, he puts out team-friendly information. In terms of the contract, it matters how it was structured. Like, were they giving Malcolm Butler any more than the $3.9 million? That was the point. That was the whole point of Malcolm and them squaring off, is Malcolm's like, you know, I've earned getting more than the restricted free agent tender. You know, I want money up front. And were the Patriots willing to do that? I don't know. I don't know from that report. But, you know, now you look at it and you say, okay, could you have done Butler's contract last year for $10 million a year? And would that have been better than Stephon Gilmore, $13 million? You know, I think those guys are always going to be compared now, you know, from now on. Did the Patriots make the right decision? And, you know, we saw the ripple effects from not paying Malcolm Butler, the undercurrent that was there with him throughout the season, and ultimately what happened in the Super Bowl. I mean, I think it's all related. And so, if they would have paid Malcolm then, would they be better off right now? I don't know. We're going to have to see. But
the Amendola loss, how much is that going to hurt Brady, especially as clutch as he's been in the playoffs the last couple of seasons?
Well, you got to, you know, you're banking on the fact, again, this is where the team has more information than we do about Julian Edelman coming back. They must feel good about that. And then, you know, another player that no one's really talking about that I'm intrigued seeing in training camp is Riley McCarron, who was a kid that they picked up from the Texans, who, when we saw him in training camp with the Texans and in the preseason, he looks a lot like Wes Welker. I mean, even down to number 83.
Didn't Bill O'Brien say that down there? Like, you look like a Wes Welker clone?
Yeah. So, I mean, the Patriots always have options. I mean, was Danny Amendola clutch and all that stuff, and are they going to miss that? Yeah, probably. But I'm not really worried about the offense. You know, I'm never worried about the offense. As long as Tom Brady's out there and happy, which is a question, I'm not worried about the offense. You know, just like, you know, when they lost Edelman, I told Felger before the season, I said, they will reach the same number of points or be better this year. They were better. They always evolve. They have McDaniels back. I'm not worried about the offense.
The calm, cool reasoning of Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. I feel a little bit better. I'm still in Big Jim worry red, not right. Pinned. But I do feel a little bit better. I feel a little bit more calm. I know this guy to my left, who's also typically full of calm, cool reasoning, a little bit freaked out. So Gaspar,
I am a little bit freaked out.
Yeah, hold your thoughts. I want to get your thoughts so far in the Patriots offseason, which has been, it's felt a little bit tumultuous here over the last couple of days. But it is at the official start of NFL free agency at 4 o'clock this afternoon. We have Greg Bedard alongside here at Boston Sports Journal. I want to hear from you. Nate Solder, gone. Going to the New York Giants, getting $15 million per. Steep price. Yeah, they had to figure the Patriots weren't going to pay that. But now what do they do at left tackles? Let's hear from you. 617-779-0985. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5
The Sports Hub. Felger and Maz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Brady drops back under rush on the blind side. Ball is stripped by Tamba Ali. That's his specialty. And he recovers at the 9. Strip sack Kansas City.
Nate Solder, left tackle. Tamba Ali again. Not only does Nate Solder has his left foot about a yard back, he steps back with the left foot and still gets beat. I mean, Brady's got no chance.
I went with everybody's favorite punching bag, Nate Solder, once again. Like, you know, gave up a sack, had a holding penalty. Solder was bad in this game again. Again, he was my number one dud.
Play fake to blood. Quick throw to a tackle, eligible Solder. Across the 5. Nate barreling over a defender. Diving to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
How about that? They'll throw it to anybody. Let's go to the old trick book. Play action fake. You don't want to cover number 77. We'll throw it to him. How about Nate Solder having a nose for the goal line and punching it in? Statement drive.
Now, Nate Solder, I think that he also felt like he was worth more in the open market. Giants paid him the richest contract for an offensive lineman in history.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Jim Murray, Chris Gaspar, Greg Bedard in for the guys today. Doesn't sound like Maz is going to miss Nate Solder. Same for Bedard, as he was saying in the first segment. They're going to be able to figure it out, and if you read his column on Solder in Boston Sports Journal, you say as far as pass blocking, he just finished a season where he allowed 74 total quarterback pressures. It was a lot of that in like the first half of the season, because I did feel like he got better.
He did get better
in the last month or so.
He did, but still, at the end of the season, I think it was according to Pro Football Focus's pass blocking efficiency, it's pressures divided by, you know, pass blocking snaps, he was 44th in the league. I mean, he's been better before that. Normally, he was somewhere in around 12 to 15, 16. But, you know, he was 44th last year. I mean, that's significant. Now, how much had to do with what was going on off the field, what he was going through? I don't know. It's hard for me to quantify that. But in terms of, I'm not paying him like an elite tackle. I'm just not doing it. Because he's not. I get that other teams have a desperation, and it's harder to get project tackles out of college now. I mean, I've been writing that for like 5 years about how it's two different games. But still, I have Skarnecchia. I have people in-house. I have Garcia. I have Jelks, who's been around.
Yeah, I kind of like Jelks.
Yes. I mean,
he can never get healthy. He was really good at Vanderbilt.
They always have, including like...
At the risk of channeling Felger, what's a Jelks?
Andrew Jelks.
Okay.
I don't have his history in front of me.
But, I mean, he was a kid in Vanderbilt. He was like all SEC as a freshman and I think as a sophomore. And then he went through, I think, 2 ACL injuries down there and had a hard time sort of getting back out on the field. But he was one of those kids. I mean, you know, you're like all SEC as a freshman. You can play. And he's somebody, I think, with a lot of upside. And if he ever gets healthy or back to what he was in college. Like, I knew when Bill went down there last year for that pro day at Vanderbilt, I'm like, yeah, oh, they're definitely going to look at this Jelks kid. Because it's the type of value thing they love. Like, this guy has a ton of talent. And if he ever gets his body straight, he could be a real steal.
All right, well, either way, Nate Solder is gone. Goes to the New York Giants today. 4-year deal worth $62 million, $35 million guaranteed. Want to get your thoughts at 617-779-0985. Paul in Braintree, you're first up here on Felger and Maz today. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how you doing, man? Hey, what's up, Murray? Hey, listen, I just want to say, what do you think about these 53 men that are going home with the baby ring next year? Okay, what are they thinking about Bill Belichick thought of in the Super Bowl? All of this going, I think many more people are going to come and go, and there's going to be less people wanting to come to New England because of that. You add 55 if you want to add Dre, these two kids crying. But that's what I think. I think it's just ridiculous that all he let them all go. I'm going to let you go and speak.
All right, so look, Chris, and here's, look, This isn't going to be a surprise to you. I'm in Big Jim Worry land.
Yeah,
I
live up to my you were in there like on Friday,
yeah.
Saturday.
I live up to my nickname. I'm not thrilled with the way that things have gone here. I wanted to leave. Didn't get him. Wanted Richard Sherman. He's gone, too. Wanted Nate Solder back. Not getting my wish there. It's too rich for their blood. In a perfect world, Amendola returns to help out Tom Brady maximize what's left of the Brady window. So while I'm living up to my nickname, Big Jim Worry, where are you on this? Because all I've got so far is the re-signing of special teamers. I get the Brandons and Nate Ebner last night. Yay.
Well, can I just say something about the special teams thing? Because there's a lot of people who defend the special teams moves. And that's great. But it's like, has Matthew Slater re-signed yet?
No.
No, he's your Pro Bowl special teams guy. Okay. So you also lost your punt returner, didn't you? And your kickoff returner. So what's so great about these special teams signings? Like, taking care of special teams.
No, we should have done more Gunner talk in July.
Yeah, you still got to finish that, too. I'm a little concerned because, for me, I came into this and I looked at free agency and I said, I don't need these big names from other teams. You don't have to bring those guys in. I just want you to keep the band together. I want you to bring back Nate Solder. I want you to bring back Danny Amendola, who has taken numerous pay cuts and is somebody that's in the Brady circle of trust, which is not an easy place to get into for a wide receiver. I think we've seen that. Those were the two guys for me. You know, I had a feeling that Deion Lewis wouldn't come back, but I would have liked to have seen him come back. But I thought the primary goal for the Patriots and free agency should be retain your own guys, Solder and Amendola, and they didn't do that. And so for me, I'm a little concerned and I'm a little disappointed in that because – yeah, if they get Jason Peters like Bedard said, then yeah, that's a home run. That's an upgrade. No question about it. It works out for you. But what if you don't? And what if Tony Garcia can't play? And what if you are not as successful in the draft as you've been in the past, picking Solder, who is the highest selected offensive player of the Bill Belichick era, or Matt Light? What if you don't get that guy? Now you have a 41-year-old franchise quarterback who's coming off an MVP year. I just go back to, it was a happy ending in 2014, but it took him four games to figure out what the offensive line personnel was. And I think a lot of Brady's issues and his angst had to do with Mankins being out of there and them deciding that Jordan Devey and Marcus Cannon were going to be the starting guards. And those guys were both inactives for Super Bowl 49. So they threw a lot of crap against the wall before they finally got it right in 2014, and I don't want to see that happen in 2018. And given what we seem to think Brady's state of mind is at this point, I don't know if he can handle four games like 2014 where it's mix and match. And I know Scar wasn't there back then. I know that. But they've had some personnel evaluations that were not the greatest about what should be the starting offensive line. And they also had some personnel evaluations, to bring it back to Deion Lewis, about who should be the starting running back through the first three or four games of this year that also were not accurate. So I don't have a ton of confidence if they don't get a veteran guy and then figuring out immediately coming out of training camp who the left tackle should be.
Wait a minute. Let's not get hysterical here. And all of a sudden,
I don't think that was hysterical. That was all fact-based on stuff that really happened.
You're comparing this to 2014? I mean, we're talking about...
You don't think it's a fair comparison, Bedard, to talk about Logan Mankins leaving and Nate Solder leaving?
No.
Why not?
Because that whole line was a complete mess. I mean, you could name the different positions, basically except right tackle. They didn't have anybody. You're talking about this line with Joe Tooney, David Andrews, Shaq Mason...
I don't think Tooney's that good.
He's good. But anyways,
I don't think he's a good pass protector.
And a healthy Marcus Cannon...
Is he a good pass protector?
He's decent. Tooney? Yeah, he's decent.
Well, decent's not good. I mean, I don't mean to be picky with you, but is he good, or is he decent?
Because
those aren't the same thing.
He was good. He was good overall this year. Did he have? He had. I think he had like three games where he gave up a lot of pressure. Other than that, he was really good, and he was really good down the stretch against some tough matchups. Now, you know, I understand, you know, wanting to talk about 2014, but we're talking about one position. Other than that, the offensive line is really, really good. Now, we're just plugging one spot.
Other than
we're
left not tackle, plugging, which is the most important spot.
You say that, but in the NFL now, there are more top-notch rushers coming off of right tackle than there are left tackle. I mean, it's just Von Miller, all those guys, Khalil Mack, they all come off that edge. And so it's a little bit different now. Now, look, left tackle is important. And they need to figure something out. But they are in a much different place, a much better place than they were in 2014, when you are absolutely correct. It was a complete crap show. and they nearly got Brady killed. But I think your overall point of Brady's mindset and how is he thinking about that, I think it's completely valid to talk about.
All right, so
yeah, that's my point.
We're going to get to some of that sound coming up in the next segment, especially I thought there were some very telling things in this final episode of Tom versus Time, so we'll touch on that. But want to continue to get your thoughts on yet another Patriot who is out the door, Nate Solder, gone to the New York Giants today, Justin in Brockton. Your thoughts here on Felger and Mez. Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good, go ahead.
No, I honestly want to agree with letting Solder go for the money. I think we can plug in Cannon there. I know he's not the top-notch one, but he definitely is a fill-in guy with having Scott Doney as a coach. But I also had one other thought for you guys about the Patriots drafting Sony Michel, the running back out of Georgia.
Thanks for the call. This is a guy that I know you're bullish on.
Yeah,
Gasper.
I love Sony Michel. Yeah, I got to see him in the national championship game, and he's so smooth. He can catch it out of the backfield. I don't know what his pass protection's like, what his pass pro is. Greg, but he can catch out of the backfield, and he's one of those guys who plays faster than he runs. I know people were disappointed in the 40 time, but anybody who can find holes and slither through holes and get yards against Alabama's defense has my attention.
Yeah, I mean, you're more up on the college game, and I haven't really started to look at the draft yet, but you know, I don't think there's any question that as we sit right now, I think you know, you're looking at the Patriots perhaps drafting two running backs, one of each type, you know, an every down type, to back up Gillislee or whatever they end up doing at the lead back spot, and then you know another guy to compete with and sort of supplement James White. So, you know, I think they are definitely going to be looking at the college ranks for those two spots.
And the caller's first thing, Cannon as the replacement for Solder. Did he get some spot duty there last year?
I don't know if he did this past year, but he has in the past, and he's played decently there. I mean, is he? You know, does he have the feet? Does he have everything that you're looking for? No, probably not. But like we talked about, you know, right tackle is not, this is not right tackle from 1980. You know, the NFL defenses now have as many or more great pass rushers coming towards those right tackles as they do on the left side.
Well, let's go to James in California on the Patriots offseason. James, you're next here on Felger and Mez.
Oh, yeah, how much longer until Belichick's arrogance gets him fired? I really think it's time. This is insane. He's not signing anyone. Just trading for some draft picks. Let's promote Josh. And I honestly think they should try and trade Brady for a King's ransom. Let's just restart the whole thing. What do you think about that?
Now, that's hysterical, Greg. Yeah. That is hysterical.
I typically lean very drastic, especially when it comes to this team. I probably care about them a little too much, as you well know, Chris.
Yes, Mr. Patriots credit card.
But we've heard more. This is insane to me. Look, it hasn't been a good 5 weeks for Bill, you know, not putting Butler into Super Bowl 52, and, you know, you still want to be mad about the return on Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm with you. But calling for his head? Really? Like, I appreciate the anger, but let's not get nuts, huh?
Yeah, until further notice, the Patriots are still the perennial AFC champion. And until that changes, you know, Bill's awesome.
I do think that there's some concern about Tom Brady's mindset, though. I want to play some of that sound, get your thoughts on this, yep. Greg, because we haven't really seen you since after the loss to the Eagles in the Super Bowl. So we'll get to that coming up here. 90 minutes away from the official start of the NFL league year, which means the open of NFL free agency. There have been more moves today. We have Marshall Hook alongside, who's going to get you caught up here in the Hub headlines. And then back to you and everything going on with the Patriots in this offseason thus far here with Greg Bedard and Chris Gasper alongside here on Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-coupable. And Mass. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Does Danny Amendola deserve to be named
no.
in the same breath as Greg Jennings or even Mike Wallace?
No.
This idea that Danny Amendola is this great player, how does anybody know? How does anyone know? And people talk about this guy like he is one of the top five receivers in the league. I'm sick of hearing the freaking guy's name. Like he is this great. He's never done it. Never.
Quick throw for Julian, setting up a screen. He's going to look to throw downfield. Amendola wide open. Makes the catch at the 18 in stride. He's gone. Touchdown, Patriots.
The roof's off. What a play call.
Dom takes the snap. Backs up. Looks left. Throws it for Amendola. Yep. Touchdown, Patriots. Dom takes the snap. Quick throw to Amendola. Screen left. A flag as he reaches across the goal line for a score. There is a penalty marker on the play.
They're offsides. That's in.
the Patriots with an apparent two-point conversion. A conference by the officials. It's a tie game in Super Bowl 51.
Hot balls for everybody. Give me some.
He looks down the middle. He fires and the ball is caught in the back of the end zone by Danny.
It's a catch.
Amendola. Touchdown. Patriots.
It's a catch. Danny. Playoff Amendola. Amendola elevates 1 foot.
What a catch.
Two foot. Oh my God. Left foot toe tap.
In the back of the end zone.
Clutch.
Danny Amendola is a player who the Patriots asked to take a pay cut in each of the last 3 years. If anybody in any organization was asked to take a pay cut after each year, no matter how much success they enjoyed within that organization, I think there'd be a question about how much he'd want to stay there. And when you've got a team like the Miami Dolphins that came after Danny Amendola the way it did and makes him an offer the way that it did, then you've got a case here where they felt like, Danny Amendola felt like he had to move on.
Excellent work on the Amendola montage by executive producer Jimmy Stewart, Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub guys off today. So you have yours truly, Big Jim Murray, in the A-hole chair alongside Chris Gasper and Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal. And Danny Amendola, certainly going to be missed by Tom Brady, especially with how clutch he has been in the postseason. Just looking at the last three playoff games last season, divisional round, 11 catches, 13 targets for a $112. AFC Championship game against Jacksonville, 7 catches, 9 targets, 84 yards, 2 touchdowns. Super Bowl 52, even though it was a loss, 8 catches, 11 targets for 152 yards. Guy was always money when it mattered, especially these last couple of postseasons. So, how does this further affect the mindset of one Tom Brady, especially when his wife Giselle is saying things like this in the final episode of Tom vs. Time, which dropped earlier this week. Go ahead, Jimmy.
These last 2 years have been very challenging for him in so many ways. And I think he just want, you know, he tells me, I love it so much, and I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
Just want to be appreciated. I want to have fun, Greg. Brady, even at the end of this thing, is questioning, what am I doing this for? Huh? Is he fed up?
Yeah. I mean, look, I didn't write what I wrote for no reason around the time of the Garoppolo trade. You know, in around the time, you know, Seth came out with his piece first. I had been working on mine. You know, he said some different things. You know, but one of the things in my column was about how Brady had been talking to Kraft, you know, for a while about, like, you know, where's the loyalty? Where is my security? Because as far as Brady was concerned, early on in the season and in training camp and stuff like that, it's there's Jimmy Garoppolo. There are reports they're not. They wouldn't listen to 4 first-round picks. What is that supposed to tell me? That tells me that, you know, at least to me, to Tom Brady, I'm looking at it and I'm gonna be like, Belichick's going to get rid of me after this year. You know, when there was no contract extension, there was all this stuff. Brady wanted to know where the loyalty was, where the security was. It wasn't coming from Belichick. Belichick was really quiet on all of it. And then all of a sudden, Garoppolo's gone, you know, and Tom still doesn't have his contract extension. Now, you know, I've heard rumblings that that is because Brady's not in a hurry to help out the team.
Really?
You know, but
would you blame him at this point?
No. I mean, that's why, you know, and
so
I talked
to he's finally learned his lesson. They're not going to reallocate the funds for the guys you want, Tom.
Right. I mean, you know, I talked about how there was supposed to be a meeting, or at least they were trying to put a meeting together around the time of the Dolphins away game. It didn't happen. You know, and now with this Facebook video, it looks like things still haven't happened. And, talking to somebody who knows what was going on with the production of this, the Giselle quote and the Tom quote at the end, there was no accident that it was set up that way.
This is what you said the other day.
I told you that. Yep. Go ahead.
There was no accident. And, you know, that whole, you know, that Tom Brady, during an MVP year, is talking about how he doesn't feel appreciated at work. How does that even happen? I mean, look, I understand Belichick's a hard ass. And he has his methods and they work. And that's, I mean, you know, I thought it was interesting that Brady said to Gronk, like, you know, you're an animal.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He made it a point to be like,
that was shoehorned in there, too.
You're appreciated.
Yeah, and Danny.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, you got them both in there. You got Gronk. We talked about that, too, on Monday. Yeah, that wasn't an accident that scene was in there, either.
I just think that, so you know, you wonder, with all this going on, Solder, Amendola, Lewis, I mean, we could talk about that. I mean, I think we all knew that was going to happen. But, you know, if Tom was asking himself, why am I doing this? And this offseason is going to be for my family. Why am I doing this? Who am I doing this for? If he was asking that after the Super Bowl, what's he asking right now?
Well, this is why, and so I want to play this sound. This is Gotham Chopra, the producer of Tom Versus Time, who is on Peter King's podcast. And after hearing this, and with the way that things have worked out here in the last 48 to 72 hours with this team, I don't know. After hearing this, I was like, well, is he even going to be playing this season?
I mean, I do think we're talking, and that's what he says at the end, is like, this is a very different offseason for him. And I think that's not, again, necessarily what happened during the season. It's the fact that he's got three growing kids, a wife who's like, hey, you know, I've been kind of putting stuff on hold for a while, and I want to go out and do my thing now too. And so Tom's juggling a lot of things, and I think that's basically what he says at the end, is like, I gotta recalibrate, and I have to find that conviction again. I think he will, but you know, I think this idea that he's going to play for four or five more seasons, I mean, this is just me, the guy who's been around him for a while now, like, I'd have a hard time envisioning that, to be candid. But we'll see. I mean, I do think that these next few weeks and months are a really critical time for him.
This is a family friend. He's as close to him as anybody else. You just worked with him on this project. I just hear that. I feel like I hear that Tom Brady's teetering. Like, is it that? Is that in play? Like, if this offseason continues to not go the way that he wants it to go, and if there's no come-to-Jesus moment between him and Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft sitting there, and they can't get things figured out, is he even going to play this year?
I have a hard time envisioning that because of the Krafts. You know, if they weren't around, if he wasn't as close to them as he is, I just can't see Tom. I can see Tom being fed up with Bill and wanting to walk away. But I can't see him walking into, or Robert Kraft coming over to his house, you know, walking around the block to Tom's house, and Tom sitting
nice
in front
of land
Robert.
Tom got.
that Tom, you know, would say to Robert Kraft, you know, I'm walking away, after they just traded Jimmy Garoppolo for a second round pick. I just don't see that happening. But that Tom Brady, who for how many years have we been talking about that just being great, and the drive to be great, it's just part of who he is. Now he has to reboot himself, like pump himself up to go back and do it again? Like, no, that's not supposed to happen. That's not who Tom Brady is. Tom Brady's just an animal.
And that's ultimately why I don't think that he will retire, because I don't think he knows what else to do with himself. I do think he feels the pull of family. When I watched that last episode, guys, what I saw was, you know, somebody obviously conflicted about the fact that football comes first for him, and there's a lot of stuff. And he talked about this at the Super Bowl in Houston, that there's a lot that has to happen with his family to allow him to do what he does. But I also thought the whole message of that was, do you see what I have to go through and what my family has to go through to play at the level I play at for you guys? Do you appreciate what this does to me and what it does to my family and the sacrifices that we make, that they make? Because it feels like you don't appreciate it. And I want to let you know that you should appreciate it. To me, that was like the entire message of that final episode. It felt like one big message to the Patriots of, you don't appreciate the sacrifices I have to make and my family has to make for me to be Tom Brady for you, for me to be the crown jewel of this dynasty that you all hold so dear.
And you're going to bust my chops over Alex Guerrero? Everything that I do, you're going to make me go up to that freaking suite.
Thank you.
In the stadium.
Bedard gets it.
And duck behind windows? Like, really?
Get the rub down by the Sterno cans? Yeah.
I mean, if I'm Brady, I'm ticked off about that stuff. Like, you don't think at this point he's just earned the right to have his guy come and treat him whenever he needs it?
It shouldn't be that big of a deal, but obviously it is to Bill. And I can't agree with the way that Tom's going about it, is I think he lives in a fantasy land of thinking it's going to change just by being so positive, and I'm going to try to remove myself from the negative.
Well, you're not really a positive guy, Murray.
No,
so you
I'm
think
not.
Anybody
no, because I'm a realist, Chris. Bill Belichick's not going to change at this point in his career. You know, he runs that team like the military there. There's a hierarchy.
Sure.
And it ain't going to change. So they have to have this meeting. More than anything else, I wanted Gronk back. That still sounds like it's going to be, you know, that hasn't been solved yet. I want to get your thoughts on that, Greg. Nate Solder's now gone. Those were the 1-2 in terms of importance for me. The other thing, they got to have this meeting. They got to hash this thing out before this season because it still feels like there's upheaval here behind the scenes. Long commercial-free segment coming up next. I promise we'll get to your calls. And, Greg, why don't I get your thoughts on what's going on with Rob Gronkowski as well, because we had another Instagram post from Gronk today. Sounds like the man wants to get paid. All that coming up here on Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Mazz.
You're listening to Felger and Mazz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Rob Gronkowski, one of your highest profile clients. It's been a mystery for the last 4 weeks. You've already told me you can't say much,
right?
But I still have to ask you.
Of course.
When will we know what Gronk is going to do in 2018?
You know, I'm not sure. I got together with Rob after the season. He and I have a great, great relationship. And he said to me, it's just going to take some time. And that's all we talked about when it came to football.
Are the Patriots pushing for an answer with free agency?
You know, Mike, I wouldn't divulge that just out of my respect
for
Coach
Belichick.
How
would they not? Don't they have to know? You got Jimmy Graham hitting the market. You got maybe Austin Seferian Jenkins. We need to know what's going on.
One thing about me and I've learned about the Patriots is my business with them. I typically discuss with them, so that's why.
Well,
I told
there will
you
be no business to discuss with them.
Before I came on the air with you, you're my friend. Yeah. I said, Mike, I got to give you a heads up. I can't say much about Rob.
Well, do we, any idea, any loose ballpark of when the rest of us will know what he's going to do?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, you know what? That in and of itself is newsworthy because we're 4 weeks removed from the Super Bowl and we still don't know. All right, I know this.
I got to take
a break.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5 of Sports Hub. That's Rob Gronkowski's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, with Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, sidestepping Gronk's contract issue. The music underneath, of course, is Juicy J's 2012 hit, Banza Make Her Dance, which Gronk, for the second time in as many weeks, tweets the lyrics to said song, Banza Make Her Dance. 2 hours ago, he tweets this on his official account, Banza Make Her Dance. I repeat, Banza Make Her Dance. With a little emoji of a dancing gown saying, hey, Captain, I read into this, guys. I immediately see, pay me, Captain, meaning you, Bill Belichick. Open up those bands, make me dance. Pay up, because that's the only way I'm going to be coming back. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. This thing still hasn't been solved. Is Gronk going to be back in the fold? And if this is a sticking point and it's about money, shouldn't Tom Brady not be so stubborn about his contract? Because as you just said in the last segment, Brady not in a hurry to help out the team. If he wants his best weapon back, shouldn't he be willing to flex a little bit here and, you know, restructure that contract to make sure Gronk is back?
Maybe that's how it gets done. Maybe that's how Brady's contract gets done, that they go to him and they say, look, we know that sometimes things haven't worked out the way that we thought they would, but this time, you know, you do X, we'll do X for, or Y for Rob Gronkowski. And, you know, we've talked to him and he's open to it and then everybody's happy, you know, for the moment. So maybe it's something like that.
How real do you think the talk of retirement is or going to the WWE?
I think it's real.
You do?
Yeah. I think he's been in a lot of pain. It takes him, a lot to get through a season. And I think that, you know, he looks at, you know, an easier way to make, you know, about not the same money, but close to it enough. And plus, I think there's other things, family, you know, pressures or ties. Like I could see the Gronkowski's, like, you know, wanting to be the new Entourage out in LA or something, like, you know.
I've heard that, you know, they sort of want to be like the male Kardashians of sports, like,
yes,
that's sort of their goal.
Yeah. And so you know, I think that's all viable, but I don't think that we're going to get a definitive answer anytime soon. And even if he comes back, I mean, from what Curran said, and, you know, Gronk definitely looked off last training camp after the first day, and I noted that. I didn't think that it was along the lines of he was contemplating retirement in training camp, but, you know, so.
Well, you knew something was up, and kudos to you. You were one of the first people to talk about it, and you got a lot of, blah, Bedard, what the hell are you talking about? Blah. You know, you were right. You nailed it. You know, something was up with him the whole year, and that had to do with, you know, is he also, though, with Brady, like, I'm not having enough fun. You know, like.
Yeah, he does seem to be in the not enough fun crowd.
There was also that. And I wrote my column off. I got to look it up. But, like, after, I think it was after the Chargers game, before the bye week. And to me, Gronk just looked spent. And I forget what the quote was that he said at that press conference, but it just jumped out to me that he was basically like, I need some help here. Like, and they were able to get Martellus Bennett for a couple games, and it did help a little bit. But, you know, I think him coming back as the, you know, number one only real tight end, he's got no other help. I don't know how appealing that is to him.
Let's go to Joe in Rosendale with thought on Rob Gronkowski. You're next year on Felger and Mass. Hey, Joe.
What's up, boys? Hey, this team's falling apart faster than my marriage. I don't know if you guys seen Gronk's latest Instagram post. I'm going to quickly read it to you. It says, "It was on a plane with you the past 5 years, Danny Amendola. Thanks for all the hugs, blah, blah, blah." It says, "Stay lit. Be free. Be happy." I mean, if that doesn't scream that, this guy's miserable in New England. And Tom Brady, he commented on it, said, "Well said, Gronk," with a bunch of hand clapping emojis. So, I mean, this team is just going down the tubes quick. I think it's falling apart big time.
Yeah, Joe, I love reading a little bit too much into the social media posts of professional athletes. I like the whole psychology behind this. I think there's something to this. I heard Beadle and Zoe talking about this. You look at this thing, the words free and happy, they're capitalized.
That's right.
Again, he's not happy here. You're free. You're free. You've gotten rid of the chains that have been holding you back of Bill Belichick. You can be happy.
You can be your own man.
And then you have Tom Brady also commenting on it, too, with the clapping emojis.
He says, "Well said, Gronk."
I don't think there's any coincidence.
Brady said that?
Yeah, yeah. "Well said, Gronk." With
"Well
the clap,
said,
clap,
Gronk."
Clap.
With the, yep.
Oh, my God. "I, too, wish to be free and happy. Emancipate yourself from the reins of Bill Belichick." Oh, you know, look, I'm sure he's a giant pain for most of the time, and I'm sure it's not all that fun. But why do you think they've had the sustained success for near 20 years here? It's not supposed to be fun. It's work. It's called work for a reason, guys. Like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, I want them to basically get whatever they want because of how talented they are. They're a fan in me. I can't really escape that. You know, I want Brady and Gronk back in the fold. But this, it's getting a little bit annoying.
I mean, look, I think covering the team for a number of years, and I've said this before about at the Super Bowl with Rodney Harrison, guys have to subjugate a piece of their personality, a piece of their individuality to be part of the Patriots. Because as you said, Bill sort of runs it like the military. And we know, obviously, growing up in Annapolis and having his dad coach at Navy, I mean, he was around that environment. And for him, it's about the greater good. And he has no problem trampling all over the individuality of a player, you know, because he thinks it's ultimately what's going to help the team. But I could see where after a while that would wear on you. And you would sort of think, okay, through my performance, haven't I proven to you that I'm committed, that I'll put the work in? Can I just express myself a little bit here? Is it okay if I do these commercials, or I do my TV show, or I show up at this wrestling thing, or I hawk this book, this lifestyle manual that I'm hawking, or whatever? You know, can I just do this? Why? And here's the thing where I think it gets hypocritical too from Bill. We don't know what Bill's contract is, but we know he's the highest paid coach in the league. So you can preach all the stuff you want, and that's great, but you're not taking any discounts. So why should I?
All right. Well, we want to continue to take your calls in the Patriots offseason. Nate Solder gone. Amendola gone. Malcolm Butler gone. Feels like the cupboard is getting empty. And what are they refilling it with? Special teamers like Nate Ebner.
Angst. That's what they're refilling it with.
And
angst.
And a lot of angst and uncertainty behind the scenes. All right. We've got Greg Bedard alongside for the duration of the show as well. 1 hour from the official start of NFL free agency.
Or we could do Gunner Talk.
No, we don't want to do Gunner Talk, Jones. All right. We're going to get you caught up in the Hub headlines, the latest going on throughout the NFL. Marshall Hook will tell you all that. And we'll get right to your calls right after this here on Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.